All right, so welcome to the deep dive. You guys requested this one. You wanted to talk about the accuracy of those pre-election polls, you know, the ones from the 2024 presidential election.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what we're doing. We're diving into your notes, a briefing document on election polling analysis, and this article from American Thinker, Presidential Polling Postmortem Winners and Losers by Brian C. Jundeff.
Okay.
Kind of like a... Think of us as your post-game analysts for political predictions. We'll see which polls got it right, which ones, well, maybe not so much, and try to figure out why.
Sounds good. It's always interesting to look back and see how things played out, especially with an election like this one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So just to set the stage, remember Trump won both the Electoral College, that was 312 to 226, and the popular vote, 49.9% to 48.3%.
Yeah, I remember a lot of people didn't see that coming based on what the polls were saying leading up to it.
Yeah, exactly. So how did those pre-election polls actually line up with that outcome?
Right. That's the big question. Were they spot on or totally off base?
Right. So it's like we're setting up this scorecard, right, for political predictions.
Yeah.
Some clear winners, some losers in the polling game. What stands out to you right away?
Well, right off the bat, Rasmussen Reports and Atlas Intel, they are pretty darn accurate. Almost nailed Trump's victory margin.
Oh, that's impressive.
And what's interesting is they released these polls like November 1st and 2nd, super close to the election.
Really? Wow. Talk about cutting it close. Okay, so they were pretty accurate. But were all the polls like that?
Not exactly. There were quite a few polls showing Harris ahead, like Ipsos, NPR, PBS, Marist, Forbes, you know, HarrisX, Yahoo News, Morning Consult, all those names. They were all painting a different picture of how the election might turn out.
Wow. So quite a few polls going in a very different direction there. Okay. So now you got to think about how those differences could impact, you know, not just how the public sees things, but campaign strategies and all that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And you've got the Real Clear Politics average, right? That kind of compiles everything. If a bunch of polls are leaning one way, it can really skew people's perception of the race.
Okay, that makes sense. So we've talked about the polls that were pretty close and then those that showed something totally different. But were there any that were just like way off?
Oh, yeah. There was one that really missed the mark. The Des Moines Register, you know, the Mediacom Iowa poll, they predicted a 7-point swing for Harris in Iowa.
Okay.
Trump actually won Iowa by more than 13 points.
Hold on. So that's a 20-point difference.
Yeah.
Between the prediction and the actual result.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a big miss. You know, it's kind of like trying to predict the weather in a hurricane.
It really is. And it shows that even with the best intentions, polling isn't perfect. There are always those limitations, you know, chances for things to go wrong.
Absolutely. And it wasn't just Iowa, right? We saw those inaccuracies at the state level too, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like in New Jersey, for example, polls were predicting a much bigger win for Harris there than what happened. Like one poll had her up by 20 points, another by 12.
Wow.
But in the end, she won by less than 5.
So a pretty big gap there. It makes you wonder what's going on, like what caused those differences.
Right. It's like a puzzle where some pieces just don't fit. We got to figure out the why behind those inaccuracies.
Okay. And speaking of puzzles, what about Kansas? Any surprises there?
Kansas, that was an interesting one. Polls really underestimated Trump's support there. One had him winning by like 5 points, but he ended up winning by over 16.
Really? Wow.
Shows you just how hard it is to predict what voters will do.
Okay, so now we're getting to the heart of it. Why were those polls so inaccurate? What happened?
Yeah, so the Jundeff article has some ideas about that. He talks about methodology, like maybe some polls accidentally oversampled Democrats.
Oh, so basically the people they surveyed didn't really represent all the different types of voters.
Right. Like imagine trying to bake a cake, but you use the wrong amounts of ingredients. You might get something that looks like a cake, but doesn't taste right.
Oh, that's a good analogy. I think that helps make it clear for people who might not be familiar with all the polling lingo.
Yeah, exactly. The goal is to get a sample that really reflects everyone, you know, the whole population. If it's off, well, the results are going to be off too.
Wow. So even those little details in the methodology can have a huge impact. It's like a chain reaction.
Exactly. And it shows why transparency is so important. You know, the more we understand how these polls are done, the better we can understand what the results really mean.
Right. It's not just about the final number. It's about the process. And that's where our listeners come in, right? How can they look at these polls with a critical eye? How can they be informed?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, it's about understanding that polls are tools. They can give us information, but they're not perfect predictors, like having a map. But, you know, there might be detours or roadblocks. You can't just blindly follow it.
That makes sense.
You got to think critically. Ask yourself, who did this poll? How did they do it? was their sample representative?
Right. And we can't forget about that margin of error, can we?
Oh, definitely not.
Yeah.
Even the best polls have that margin of error. It means those results could vary, you know, a few percentage points either way. And in a close race, a few points can be a big deal.
It's like a reminder that we can't be 100% sure. There's always some uncertainty.
Right. Polls give us a piece of the puzzle, but not the whole picture.
So as we wrap up this first part of our deep dive, I want our listeners to think about this. How much should we really trust those pre-election polls? Are they helpful for understanding what the public's thinking, or can they actually be misleading?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. And in the next part of our deep dive, we'll be exploring how these polls might affect voter behavior, how the media covers elections, and even campaign strategies. It's going to get really interesting.
Welcome back to the deep dive. We're still talking about pre-election polls, you know, how accurate they were in the 2024 race. And we saw some pretty interesting differences between the predictions and what actually happened. But now I kind of want to shift gears a little. We've been talking about how those polls, you know, how well they reflected things. But what about how they might actually influence the election itself?
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like a feedback loop, right?
It is, like a self-fulfilling prophecy almost.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So let's start with voters. You know, a lot of times you hear people say, well, my vote doesn't really matter, or what difference does it make? Do polls play into that at all?
I think they definitely can. Imagine seeing a poll that shows your candidate, you know, way behind. You might start thinking, well, what's the point?
Yeah, you feel discouraged.
Exactly. It's like your team's losing by a huge margin. You don't really feel like playing the last quarter, you know?
Right. And then on the other hand, if a poll shows your candidate way ahead, you might think, oh, they've got this.
Exactly. No need to rush to the polls.
Right.
So it's almost like polls could actually discourage people from voting on both sides.
Yeah.
And especially if those polls aren't even accurate to begin with.
Right, exactly. It creates this distorted view, makes people feel complacent, and that can actually impact who wins.
Wow. And it's not just about individual voters either, right? Think about how this affects, like, media coverage.
Oh, absolutely. The media loves to use those polls. They kind of shape the whole story.
Right. It's like all those headlines, you know, candidate X surges ahead or candidate Y is struggling.
Yeah.
That definitely affects how we see things.
Totally. And it affects everything. Fundraising, campaign strategies, the whole nine yards. If everyone thinks a candidate's losing, they're not going to donate as much or volunteer, all that.
So it really is kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, like you said.
It is. It's crazy how powerful those perceptions can be.
So we have to be careful, right? We can't just take those poll numbers at face value.
Right. We need to think about the source, the methodology, all of that.
Okay. And this kind of brings us back to the June Def article. He mentions this really interesting example of how a misleading poll can create like a media frenzy.
Yeah.
Do you remember that Iowa poll we talked about? The one that showed Harris with a surprising lead?
Oh, yeah. The one that was way off.
Right. What does he say about that?
Well, he talks about Rachel Maddow. She called it a shock result. She thought maybe Harris was actually going to win Iowa.
And obviously, that didn't happen.
Nope. And then June Def also mentions Pete Buttigieg. You know, he was transportation secretary back then. He tweeted about Iowa shocking the nation. So a lot of people were really caught off guard by the actual results.
Yeah, they really were. It just shows how easy it is to get swept up in all the excitement, you know, even for people who follow politics closely.
Yeah, those polls can really influence how everyone sees the election.
So it's clear those polls can affect voters, the media, even the campaigns themselves.
Mm.
But how do we, you know, how do we as citizens make sense of all this?
That's the million-dollar question, right?
Yeah. How do we figure out what's real and what's not?
Well, first of all, remember, those polls are just one piece of the puzzle. They're a snapshot, not the whole picture.
It's like trying to understand a whole movie from just the trailer.
Yeah.
Right? You get a glimpse, but you miss a lot of the details.
Exactly. We need to go beyond the headlines, you know, think about who did the poll, how they did it, were those questions fair, all of that.
So it's like we have to be detectives. Gather the evidence and then decide what it means.
Exactly. And we also have to remember, you know, those polls aren't crystal balls. They can't predict the future.
Right. There are always things that can happen that nobody expects.
Right. So even if a poll shows one candidate way ahead, it doesn't mean they're going to win, for sure.
Things can change right up to election day.
Oh, absolutely. So it all comes back to critical thinking. Don't just accept those poll results without thinking about them.
Okay, I like that. Be informed, not just influenced. And that kind of makes me think, you know, how does the influence of polls compare to, like, social media? Social media is everywhere these days.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. Social media is a huge factor. especially during elections.
Yeah, I mean, think about all those ads you see, the memes, you know, how everybody's kind of in their own little bubble online, only seeing what they already agree with.
Totally. Those platforms want to keep you on there, so they show you what they think you want to see. It's like being in a filter bubble, you know?
And that can make it really hard to get the full picture. If you only see one side of the story, it's easy to just believe that's the whole truth.
Exactly. We need to be aware of that and really try to see things from different angles. It's about challenging yourself, you know, having those tough conversations with people who don't agree with you.
Okay, so we're in this digital age.
Right.
Information's everywhere, but so is misinformation. So those critical thinking skills are more important than ever.
They really are. We have to be careful about what we believe, both online and offline.
It's like having this mental filter, right?
Yeah.
Sorting through everything to find what's real.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that means, you know, getting a little uncomfortable seeing things that challenge our views. But I think that's how we learn and grow, right?
That's exactly it. And that's how we can make good decisions. You know, not just when we vote, but in our everyday lives, too.
It really is amazing, you know? It's like we're drowning in information these days. Everywhere you look, it's news, opinions, data. It's hard to know what to believe.
It really is. And, you know, the internet, all that's just made it even crazier. We've got all this information at our fingertips, but are we actually any smarter?
Right. It's like having this giant library, but no idea how to find the right books. You know?
Exactly. It's not just about how much information there is. It's about the quality of it and if we even know how to make sense of it all.
Okay, so as we wrap up our deep dive into these election polls, what are the big takeaways? What should our listeners remember? You know, especially if more elections coming up, there's going to be even more information, more misinformation flying around.
Yeah, for sure. I think the biggest thing is to be skeptical. Don't just believe everything you see in a poll. Remember, it's a snapshot, not a prediction.
Okay, so don't get caught up in the headlines. Look deeper. Ask those tough questions. Think about the context.
Exactly. And remember, polls are just one piece of the puzzle. There's a lot more that goes into an election. You know, what do the candidates actually stand for? What have they done in the past? What's the mood of the country like?
Right. We have to connect the dots ourselves, make our own decisions. We can't just let those polls do the thinking for us.
Exactly. And remember what we were talking about with social media. Be careful about those echo chambers, those filter bubbles.
Yeah, it's easy to get stuck in those little groups where everyone agrees with you. But that doesn't mean you're seeing the whole picture.
Right. Make an effort to hear different points of view, you know. Talk to people who disagree with you. Be open to changing your mind.
Yeah, it's like stretching your brain a little, getting out of your comfort zone.
Exactly. That's how you really learn and grow.
So as we finish up this deep dive, I want to leave everyone with this. In this crazy world of information overload, the best tool you have is your own brain. Think critically.
Yeah, question everything. Look at things from different angles. Be open to new evidence. Don't be afraid to change your mind.
And this isn't just about elections, right? This is how we should approach everything. It's a lifelong journey of learning and growing.
Well said. And hey, thanks to all our listeners for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you learned something new, got some food for thought.
Absolutely. Knowledge is power, but only if we use it wisely. Keep asking questions, keep exploring, keep diving deep. We'll catch you guys on our next adventure.